banana split. The Blue Jays avoid a series loss with two wins at the end. And you know what? Whit Merrifield was the key to it all. It's Talking Blue Jays. It's Locked On Blue Jays, and it starts right now.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Blue Jays. Thanks so much for making us your first listen every day. He's Matt Bonaparte. I'm Ben Schulman. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, YouTube, Twitter. Twitter works.
You don't say Podbean enough.
No, I don't say it anymore. Email us at LockedOnBlueJaysReal@gmail.com. LockedOnBlueJaysReal@gmail.com. We have a series recap, a series preview with some fun on the end. In the full-on AL East Division Tour, it started with the Tampa Bay Rays this past weekend in a four-game set, the final four-gamer of the year, and the Blue Jays split it. I go over to you, Bones. What's your storyline?
Storyline here is that I'm happy with who they beat in this series, one of which was my scary and Shane McClanahan, who was not all that scary. In fact, he was quite the opposite. Gave up four runs. And they also beat Drew Rasmussen, probably the two best guys in that rotation. They have a good rotation, so it actually is saying much. But it also, you could probably contend that Jeffrey Springs is also in there with a 2.56 ERA compared to Rasmussen's 2.85. But I still like Rasmussen and McClanahan. And they beat two really, really good pitchers in this series. And the Rays are chock full of good pitchers. So that's not, hard to come by a bad one in their rotation. So I'm happy with who the Blue Jays beat in this series, because they're probably going to have to face him when the playoffs roll around, especially in that wild card series. It looks like it right now. So I'm happy that the Jays were able to beat them. And, you know, it didn't look like they would, but then they did. So I'm happy.
Yeah, and that's kind of the key of my storyline, so I'll just flip to that. Crisis averted. I mean, this was getting a little game of Philly series and then get into two games in Tampa and just not look good. Give up 10 runs in both of those games. So that was pretty concerning, to say the least. It looked like the Blue Jays were going to lose the series, maybe even get swept, with the fact that, like you said, Rasmussen, McClanahan, I would agree, are the best two that they have to offer right now. But they managed to pick up those two wins. They get the split. They end up keeping the Rays at an arm's length of two games back in the wild card. And yeah, like you said, it is good. I mean, to sort of flip back to yours, it is good to beat those guys, because with the Mariners slumping, it does really look like the Rays could be the team that the Blue Jays face in the playoffs, regardless of whether they're the first wild card or the second wild card. And, you know, you're going to have to beat those guys in the playoffs. They hadn't beat McClanahan this year, and they finally got to him. And they didn't necessarily get to Rasmussen, but I believe that's two games in a row that he's started that they've won. So at least you know you can win when he starts, even if it's not necessarily off him all the time. So, yeah, I was happy to see them claw this one back, because if they had lost 3-1 or, you know, for GD forbid, had taken the four-game sweep, they'd be in a tough spot right now.
Yeah, they would be in a brutal spot right now. And we kind of knew that going into the series, that could be a thing. And I'm glad that nothing has changed in terms of the Jays or Rays seeding having left.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, man.
How big do you feel it is that they've now lost the tiebreaker to the Rays? So if they finish tied with the Rays will get the wild card spot ahead of them.
I don't think that matters, because they're both going to be wild card teams.
But it could for home. I mean, it could matter for home field.
For home field, I mean, you want home field, but I don't think it's a game breaker. Like, you want home field, of course you do. Everybody wants home field, but you can't. Like, it's not like you can't win on the road. And like, they won two games on the road, so I don't think it matters that much. Like, I mean, you want home field, but like, it's not a huge deal.
Yeah, I'm not freaking out over it, but it isn't the best. The good news is, so basically it just means now you have to finish ahead of the Rays, which the Blue Jays are already ahead of them. The Rays do have a tough end to the year. So hopefully the Blue Jays, if they can get Baltimore in that final series of the season playing meaningless baseball, then all of a sudden it gets a little bit better, because the Rays, three straight road series at Cleveland, who are pretty tough, at Houston, who are very tough, and then at Boston, who are not very tough. But the Blue Jays play Boston too, so that kind of evens out there. But yeah, I mean, I'm not happy about it, but like, I'm not losing it either. Who is your series MVP?
For me, it is the man that was my hype train, I believe. Maybe actually it was Santiago, so never mind. But I'm gonna say George Springer here. Springer did go hitless in two of the games, but he was also a dog otherwise. So I gotta be happy with the Springer gives in this series. Of course, he hit two home runs like he often does, and now up to 23 home runs on the season. This guy has just been so good for them, and you really can't, I guess, undertake what he really has been doing. He also had a triple in this series, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But five hits in four games, a triple, two homers, four ribbies. He was really, really good. I'm happy with what Springer gives this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Those 23 homers bump him up to 71 RBIs. His OPS over 800. It's at 810. Per OPS and OPS plus, he's not having the best year of his career, but he's not having the worst year of his career. This is like a pretty middle of the pack Springer year, which at 32 with some injuries, you're going to take every time. So I agree, George, very helpful. He hit two home runs in the finale of the series. In the opener of the series, my MVP, Whit Merrifield, hit two home runs. That game would end up being a loss, but he's my MVP because of game three. He comes up with the all-important home run again there. He hits a three-run shot. The Blue Jays win 3-1. I mean, this was definitely Whit's best series of the year. He finishes that series with the highest OPS of anyone in the three games at 1,400. Three homers and two doubles for his five hits and 16 total bases. He slugged over 1,000. It wasn't what we were expecting, but I'll take it any day you can. Whit was legitimately one of the most, if not the best, offensive player in that three-game stretch, and he's hitting a little better. He's not hitting well, but he's hitting a little better. Last five games, six hits for Whit. So, and we had, you know, I will say, you had laughed at me a little bit when I said Whit was in a hot stretch before the series. And we did see that he was hitting like 300 over a 10-game stretch or something. I'm not going to say I called three home runs, or else I would have made him my hype train, and I didn't. But I'm taking like a little credit.
Hey, you know, Whit, he was fantastic. I mean, you can't say he wasn't. The guy was a menace. So you got to give him that credit. We got to, you know, Whit, maybe I was wrong about you, but he still has a long way to go. So maybe if he does it in the playoffs, I'll really admit that he's good.
Yeah, I don't think you were wrong about him. Don't worry. but
I was wrong about you, Whit.
Boombox outside of Whit's apartment. All right, we're done with the Rays series. We're done with the Rays this year. Claps. No more about the Rays, who you don't like. I like them, but they're a pain to play against. So for the Blue Jays, that's big. Now we're on to talk about the big bad Yankees and their possible clinching, their possible record setting, a whole lot more. That's coming up. But first, I need to tell you about our friends at LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, I can't tell you enough about how easy it is to create a free job post on LinkedIn Jobs. All you do is add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn number one in jobs in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonmlb. That's linkedin.com/lockedonmlb to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
We are about to talk about the Yankees. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. I'm Matt Bonaparte. He's Ben Schulman. Yankees come up to Toronto for the upcoming series, a three-game set after the four-game set that the Jays just split with the Rays. Game one is tonight, which is exciting. If you don't know where this Yankees team has been, you haven't been paying attention, I'll give you a quick refresher. They had the worst August they maybe have ever had. I don't know that for sure.
One of the worst.
It was the worst month the Yankees had since the September of 1991. It was a really, really bad month. And they have bounced back in September. They've won their last seven games, including a four-game sweep of the Red Sox that concluded last night. And they've gotten kind of hot despite a bunch of injuries to guys like DJ LeMahieu, Carpenter, Benintendi. They just DFA'd Miguel Andujar. They might DFA Aroldis Chapman. That is currently being discussed within the Yankees front office, which I think would be hilarious. But we'll see if that happens. But the Yanks are playing really good baseball right now, and it's obviously on the back of Aaron Judge, who you definitely have heard about if you haven't seen a cut-in of him on your favorite sporting event that nobody cares about. Why are you cutting in an Aaron Judge at bat right now? I do not care. But anyway, he's playing really good. He's trying to hit that home run, and he won't hit it. He keeps hitting balls to the wall. Do you have your scary for this series, Mr. Ben?
I do have my scary for this series. I am checking. I want to see the last time the Yankees won seven in a row. You got to go back to June. Got to go back to June. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in a row in June, including two games against the Blue Jays. It was that third Blue Jays game where they hit the grand slam when they were down a bunch of runs, and then Teo hit a homer. That was the last time the Yankees had a streak like that snapped. But, yeah, my scary, a little different than usual. Instead of a person, it's an aura. It's a feeling. It's kind of an odor or a stench, you could say, as well, I think, or an uncomfortable mist. It's the possibility of a Yankee clinch. That's the scary. The Yankees are two – their magic number is two – in terms of clinching the division, which means two in terms of a combination of Blue Jays losses and Yankee wins, which means if they win any of the three games in this series, they will clinch the division on Rogers Center turf. That is not fun. that's not what you want to watch. As a fan, you don't want to go out there and see the Yankees popping bottles after the game. So that is my scary. Scarier than any individual player for me is the possibility of a Yankee clinch in downtown Toronto.
Yeah, that would stink for you.
If I'm a Yankee, if I'm a Yankee, I'm probably super hyped to do it though. Where were they? They were just in Boston, I guess.
But no, they were at home for the last four.
Okay,
games. I was gonna say, actually at home for the last six games.
If you're gonna go on the road, it's a good party in Toronto. Like, not a bad place to clinch your division.
It's true. My scary is a man instead of a mist or an aura or any of that. This man hit his first two Yankee home runs in the first series of 2018 against Toronto in Rogers Center. It's Giancarlo Stanton. Giancarlo Stanton just hit a walk-off grand slam against the Pirates. So he's getting a little hot right now. He's had like not the greatest season in the world, but people aren't really paying attention to him. But the guy has still been really good. 28 home runs on the year, 75 RBI, a 753 OPS. Like, he is having a down year, but he's still just slapping home runs, which is what he tends to do. Career, he's played 20 games at the Rogers Center. 9 homers, 16 RBI, a 290 average, 407 on base, 737 slugging for a 1.143 OPS in those 20 games. So he plays pretty well on Toronto turf, and I think he's going to play well once again. I think as his career has gone on, his swing has been more janky and more weird. Like, he just like throws his entire body into his swing, and it looks so ugly if he misses, and so wild that he hit the ball if he connects. So I'm going Giancarlo, and I think he's going to have a good series.
Do you have that 2018 box score available? Because I was at that game.
Sure, I'll get it up right now, man.
I believe Giancarlo Stanton homered in the first inning, in his first Yankee at-bat.
I think it was AB. Yeah, first AB.
And I – 2018 opening day starter.
He went 3-for-5 with 4 RBIs. He had 2 homers, 1 off Jay Happ.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
I wasn't
the other one. You can guess the other one.
Well, they traded Jay Happ that year, I believe. The other guy that he homered off of, I mean, it's like not going to be good relievers in that.
This reliever played for both the Yankees and the Blue Jays.
Oh.
We're doing a little bit of a he was.
That's
this a is hint. A little bit of a he was. I won't lie.
That's a hint and a half. Who is a Blue Jay and a Yankee?
We've turned this into he was a Blue Jay. Everybody's favorite game.
It's not Miguel Castro, who's on.
I'm going to give you more hints.
He was a Blue Jay. Can you give me more hints?
All right, this guy played. He's still in the league right now. He debuted in 2007 as a Yankee, but you won't remember him as a Yankee.
When you say he's still in the league now, do you mean the American League or Major
League? No, he's still playing in Major League Baseball. He plays for the team that everybody knows him to be from.
Huh. Liam Hendricks.
No, it's not Liam Hendricks.
He was already a White Sox by then, I think, 18.
This guy has played. This is his 16th year in baseball.
16
or
years.
Maybe 17th. Yeah. He's played for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 teams. He played. Whoa. 1 year with the Jays, 3 with the Yankees.
Whoa.
Yeah, man. This guy's a trip. Also played for the Mets. He was a part of the Mets World Series run in 2015. He was a big part of their bullpen.
All right, who is it?
Tyler Clippard.
Tyler Clippard. I forgot we had Tyler Clippard. I remember him as like a gnat.
Yeah, that's the team everybody knows him from.
But he's not still playing. I thought you said he was still pitching.
He is. He made 4 appearances for the Nationals this year. That counts.
It counts, but barely. Who's your hype train?
My hype train is the man that does punish the Yankees from time to time and did this year in his only multi-home run game of the year, which came against Garrett Cole in what I believe was April, and that's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Vlad, in that 4-game set at Yankee Stadium from April 11th to the 14th, had a 3-home run game, went 4-for-4 with a double as well in that game. I remember it. He likes to hit against the Yankees. He hasn't been incredibly hot, especially was not at the drop. He only had 2 hits, no homers or anything. And struck out 4 times in game 2, so he was pretty ice cold. But he was really good in the Philly series. He was good in the Baltimore series, so he's probably going to come back home, you know, eat his favorite sandwich before the game, talk to his favorite people, security guards and whatnot, get his mojo back, and go out there and just slap home runs. So I'm going to go Vladdy.
Yep, I like it. I'm going to go George. Everyone knows that when it gets to September and October, the Yankees are afraid and constantly wilts to people like George Springer. So I'm going to go with a guy who's hit well against the Yankees this year to George. Obviously, has missed some time, but he's mostly been there for Yankee games. 14 on the year, 965 OPS, three home runs, three doubles. Look, he's, Yankees could never get through him before, so I don't think they can now. I'm going with George Springer.
Cool. All right. I got Vlad. You got George. I've got Giancarlo. You've got the threat of a AL East clinch.
You know what the people have.
Ads.
And we move on. Over, unders, under, overs, sideways, inside, outside, over. Let's do some over unders for our final game, or first game of this series, pardon me. Today, on this Monday Eve, Kevin Gausman set to go to the bump. Kevin had a bounce back start in his last start. He's obviously been very good most of this season anyway. For Kevin Gausman, I have the strikeout over under set at 7.5.
Hmm.
You want some numbers
Oh.
on?
I want some numbers, yeah.
I'll give you last couple starts for Gauz. Last couple starts for Gauz. September starts. 8 Ks at Philly in 6 scoreless innings. 7 Ks home versus Tampa Bay in 7 innings of 5-run ball. In 5 1/3 innings at Texas of also 5-run ball, gave up or struck out 9. In 6 2/3 innings against Baltimore, 6 strikeouts. So that's twice hitting it, twice not hitting it, or hitting the over, twice not hitting the over.
So this is 8 strikeouts should be the over.
It's 7.5, so yeah.
You know, a friend of the pod, not really a friend of the pod, but a person we used to talk about on the pod a lot, Giancarlo Pivetta. He struck out the Yankees 8 times in his last start a couple days ago. I'm gonna go over here. If Piv can do it, so can Gausman.
I like the over as well. Yeah, Yankees are a bit of a high strikeout team even on their best day. So I will go with the over for Kevin. Speaking of Kevin, innings pitched over under 6 1/3. Now, Kevin has surpassed that and not surpassed that an equal amount of times. In September, he went 6 in his last start, but 7 in the start before, but 5 1/3 the start before that, but 6 2/3 the start before that. So I got 6 1/3 on guys over under.
It would
Obviously,
be hard for him to hit 8 strikeouts if he didn't go 6 innings.
he's done it, but you are right.
I'm gonna go under. He doesn't hit it. He doesn't hit those 6 innings. He goes,
Okay.
maybe he goes six flat.
From you, although I'm only tracking your answers, I'll say over. I like him to go out there and dominate. Here's an interesting thing about Kevin Gausman. He's really good against the five hitter in your lineup. Like really good. Five hitters for their career. By far the worst numbers in a lineup. It's not even that close. Or it's this year, not for his career. Let me find the numbers for you. Give me 1 second. But Mr. Gauz, he picks this part in the order, the fifth batter, and he dominates them. They're hitting 162 this year with a 334 OPS. A
Wow,
334 OPS.
that's kind of nuts.
You're five hitter. At a minimum, that's your fifth best hitter.
Well, not
Probably.
necessarily.
I mean, you're probably not putting, unless you're nine hitter, like 6, 7, 8 have no special reason.
I guess Harrison Bader's gonna have a really tough night.
So, what my, by the way, 334 OPS against that spot, it's like mostly 700 OPSs in every other spot. A couple 600s in there. So it's like a big, big difference. So I, the five hitter. How many hits does he have on this Monday night? Over under 0.5.
Over.
You got Bader with a hit.
Harrison slaps a single, yeah. If it's Harrison, I don't know if it will be. Maybe Donaldson. If it's Donaldson, I'd like to retract that. But if it's Harrison.
Well, you're betting on the five hitter no matter who.
I know I am. I know. I'm going to say over because I'm hoping it's Harrison.
Low-key Josh Donaldson has had a lot of big hits for the Yankees this year. We move on.
Ever since he became a dad, yeah.
I talked about two-hit wit recently. And then he kind of dropped him on the table last series and just, you know, let everyone know what was going on. I'm not even asking for two-hit wit. I'm asking for one-hit wit. If Whit Merrifield starts, does he pick up a hit over under 0.5?
Is it any game?
We're just going to say the first game he starts.
All right, I'll ride the hot wit hand. Yeah.
Over.
Wit hits.
Over. So you got Gausman strikeouts over, innings under. The strikeout 7.5, the innings 6 1/3. Hits from the five hitter for the Yankees, you have over. Hits from Whit Merrifield, you have over. Those are both 0.5. Here's your final line. Everyone knows what baseball is coming to watch this weekend. Everyone is there to observe one thing. How fast really is Alejandro Kirk? No, it's Aaron Judge and his home run chase. He sits at 60. He's one away from tying Roger Maris's record for being fourth. Aaron, yeah, who cares? Aaron Judge homers today, 0.5. Does it happen
today?
Does it happen today?
No.
No?
No.
Why is that?
I just don't like it to happen today.
When do you think it
happens? I don't like it against Gausman. I'd prefer it against Berríos if that's possible.
I don't get your wish granted there, but I can do
that. It could happen against a reliever today. Like if they throw like, I don't know, oh, how about the David Phelps comes in, former team. He's like, you guys used to start me in baseball games, and then I left, and you didn't want me anymore. And then Judge is like, we were never teammates. I don't care. And then he just hits a home run.
Look, it's possible.
It's a possibility.
It's definitely possible. I'm trying to see if I can. I'm not like a baseball reference subscriber, so finding his numbers against aren't going to be possible for me. Although maybe ESPN has them.
What are you looking for?
Numbers of Gausman versus Judgy.
Oh, I don't know.
That's fine. That's fine. Oof. Hitting 500 against former Blue Jay Jacob Wagasback. it's like 1 for 2. Okay, so you have under. You don't think Judge hits the homer today? You know what? I'll take the over. I think it's going to happen. I kind of hope it happens on game one so it just gets out of the way.
Are you going to go to any of these games?
I'm not. I'm actually going to cross enemy lines. I'll be in New York. But I'm going to New York because I'm going to go see my good friend Paul Francis Sullivan when he talks about with humor, passion,
California,
and a unique perspective on all 30 teams and the biggest storylines around the league. It's the Locked On MLB podcast, and you should check it out. We appreciate you checking out our podcast today. For Matt Bonaparte, I am Ben Schulman. We will catch you tomorrow with something that you would never expect.